guess who's back?
Back, back, back.
Back again. Dave and Darren, that's who. It's time for another one of our Top 5 Things podcasts. A review of what we got done.
Can you imagine the gall?
What do you mean? The gall of us to say that these are the top 5 things?
Oh, my goodness.
You two have the temerity to say these are the top 5 things?
It's some sort of temerity is what you have.
Where do you get
where
off?
Where do you get off?
Thanks for downloading, subscribing.
Stop it. You're going to kill him.
And liking the top 5 things. We'll deliver now with number one.
Number one.
Number one.
One.
Number one. Number one.
When it comes to Guinness Book of World Records, I think I'm pretty famous for, well, not famous. I've made my opinion known.
Easy there, famous Dave. Oh, wait a minute. Wrong Dave.
I'm not famous at all.
No, he's famous.
What's the word I'm looking for? I've been rather outspoken.
Infamous?
That's it. I'm infamous. That's the word I'm looking for, Darren. Thank you. I'm infamously unimpressed by most of the Guinness Book of World Records. There are more than a few of them that I look at and I think, I could do that. Stacking 8 M&Ms? If I really wanted to, I could absolutely do that.
If I tried.
If I had that kind of time to throw away, sure. This one I don't think I could do. This kid solves 3 Rubik's Cubes in 4.5 minutes while juggling.
Juggling the cubes.
Juggling the Rubik's Cubes. And he solves them, 3 of them, in 4.5 minutes. I have Rubik's Cubes.
That's a pretty good trick.
From 1982 that I still haven't figured out. Like my original Rubik's Cube, I still don't have that cracked.
Does the original Rubik's Cube come fixed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when you buy it, it's not all
jumbled
up.
Shouldn't it be bought all jumbled up?
Yeah.
Because otherwise I would just buy the Rubik's Cube as it is and say, yeah, there it is.
I solved it.
What? What else do you want?
No big whoop. I have a bunch of mechanical puzzles that I play with, and what I do is I get them out.
Mechanical puzzles?
Yeah, that's what they're called. You know, like your Rubik's Cubes or your Scubes or your...
Like bent nails and such?
I don't have...
Are those more magic tricks?
I think that's more of a magic trick. No, you know, like your Pyraminx or your missing link.
Any bent nails?
No. Not that I used
to ever
tease my brain.
You had to have some sort of magic kit that had bent nails in it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, sure you do.
Bent nails.
Yeah, those little things where it's like, how do you get this undone? How do you put it back together?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, so like a metal twisty thing.
Yeah.
But they're not made out of nails,
are they? I think
they
are.
Really? No, I don't know that I've ever had any of those.
Back when we didn't care about children's safety.
There you go, kids. Play with these bent nails.
Having said that, we were 10 times safer.
Yeah, that's right. All you had to worry about was a little tetanus. Yeah. All of a sudden, you couldn't open your mouth one morning, and you could get that taken care of. And honestly, it wasn't...
Lockjaw, no big deal.
I was going to say, for me, the ability to not open my mouth would have been a good thing. This kid has set a Guinness World Record by solving 3 Rubik's Cubes, 4.5 minutes... all while juggling. I'm going to say, for the record,
you're impressed.
Yeah. Young man, you have my attention.
I don't have to see it. I'm impressed.
Fastest time to solve 3 rotating puzzle cubes whilst juggling. The guy's name is Angel Olivardo. And he is from Colombia. And this guy has, that's the music that is on when this kid's doing his Rubik's Cube.
He's not playing music while he's doing it as well, is he? He's a one-man band.
19-year-old set the world record in Bogota, Colombia back on April 1st. Fastest time to solve 3 rotating Rubik's Cubes whilst juggling. 4 minutes, 31 seconds. He was competing against himself for the record, by the way. He had the previous record of 4 minutes and 52 seconds, which he did in May of last year. This 19-year-old has been training for 2 years to achieve the first record, finding a lot of time to practice during all the lockdowns. He says the first obstacle was figuring out how to solve a Rubik's Cube, a single one, while juggling.
Yes, I would think that's probably how you start.
See, this is... what I wouldn't be able to grasp. I would just take three and try and do three all at once, and then I'd get frustrated and stop. This kid had the wherewithal to think, you know, I'll just start with one.
Yeah.
He said it took him 5 months to figure out how to solve a single Rubik's Cube while juggling. And then once he harnessed that skill, then he added more cubes into the rotation. It took him 4 months to figure out how to solve three efficiently. As you can imagine, this takes immense dexterity and concentration.
Well, and effort.
Yeah, to be able to rotate Rubik's Cubes while they're flying through the air. You also have to keep track of what cube is where and how many turns each has had.
Yeah.
His training involved 1 hour solves for just one cube, as well as three cube attempts with focus on consistency and accuracy. He wanted to prove to himself that with practice and a ton of determination, he could achieve something that was difficult. He says here, and I quote, "It would mean a lot to me, since it would be the first both juggling and speed cubing world record of Colombia, and that would be cool to be the first person to achieve that."
Sure would.
God, this, he's, tell you what you're going to need is three Rubik's Cubes and a big stick to fight off all the ladies. You know what I'm talking about? I bet this...
I don't.
I bet this guy does pretty well for himself. Bet the chicks dig it. The record for the fastest time to solve three Rubik's Cubes while juggling was first set in December of 2017 by a 13-year-old whose name was Qiu Jingyao from China. He wowed the audience on the set of a Chinese TV show called I Dream by achieving the feat in 5 minutes and 6 seconds. That kid would go on to best his record and get the record down, shaving 4 seconds down, going on another TV show. Is this record unbreakable, or will somebody be able to juggle three Rubik's Cubes and solve them in under 4 minutes and 31 seconds? I guess this is the part where I say, stay tuned.
Number two.
When you have occasion to travel and you're flying out of Quad City International Airport, or is it Quad Cities International Airport? They changed the name and I can't keep it straight.
Didn't they change it to Quad Cities?
It's Quad Cities International Airport, not Quad City International Airport, right? It wasn't that the big rebranding that they did a couple years ago? There's the airport deli bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just taking a look at the menu. Everything seemed to be pretty reasonably priced considering it's, you know,
you mean
in an international airport.
You recently were there and looked at it?
No, I'm looking online. Because here's the thing. When I'm traveling out of town, usually I'll get a bite to eat at my house before I travel out of town. You know, uh-huh. I don't really have any use for a restaurant in an airport because I live here. I could see if, I don't know, if you were somebody who was coming from out of town, maybe you spend the night before you fly out early the next morning. It just, there's really no reason for me to ever use the airport deli bar when I'm at the airport. It makes more sense to use those sort of things when you're out of town.
And you actually have to be going somewhere. You have to have a ticket to get to the access to the deli bar.
Right. You can't. You have to go
through
TSA. Whereas
you could go to the restaurant.
Right.
Without a ticket.
Right.
If you wanted to.
Exactly.
If you're the sort of person who likes to dine at airports.
You used to be able to do that. I mean, there was a time and place where you could just go where, you know, eat airport food.
Watch people come and go.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a delightful way to pass your time.
If you so choose.
Exactly. When you're out of town, I mean, you've got a layover. You've got like a four-hour layover over, and you think, okay, well, let's get something to eat while we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're stuck because it's not like you can really leave the airport and go somewhere else. Usually you're in a bigger town, and they're in a bigger airport, and you know you're going to pay, you know.
What you're going to have to pay.
You're going to pay what you're going to have to pay. Someone did a post this week about they got a glass of Sam Adams beer. This is at LaGuardia Airport in New York City. New York City! 23-ounce glass of Sam Adams Summer Ale.
That's a nice, healthy glass.
Mm-hmm. 23 ounces.
Yeah.
You want to guess what I was going for? This is in New York, keep in mind. Things are a little pricier there than here in the Quad Cities.
23 ounces?
23 ounces of Sam Adams.
How much more was it than $23?
It was $28.
Yeah.
$28 for a beer? That's even for New LaGuardia. That's ridiculous. Cooper Lund was waiting for a flight to Minnesota, and he tweeted the picture here of the beer and the receipt.
Now, my guess is if you're the person who's serving a $28 beer, you probably don't get a huge tip.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
It's like, you know what?
They
just priced the tip out of this, didn't they?
And on the tweet here, he says, LOL at all of this, including the additional 10% COVID recovery fee that doesn't go to workers. I mean, yeah, I'm not, if I'm paying if I'm paying $28 for a beer, what do I tip another $2? Am I paying $30 for a beer?
Well, might as well.
Well, now the City of New York, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey is announced
putting their foot down.
Comprehensive new measures to get the price of beer a little bit more reasonable.
And that means what?
Well, according to John F. Kennedy International Airport and LaGuardia and Newark Liberty International Airport, the new rules here, it says...
According to John F. Kennedy...
ask not why this beer is so expensive. The new rule says that the prices cannot exceed local off-airport street prices.
Huh.
Plus a maximum surcharge of 10%.
So you can go 10% above
what
it costs on the street.
What's the going rate on the streets for some Sam Adams summer ale?
Huggy Barrel, no.
Somebody ordered an order of French fries.
Yeah.
At LaGuardia.
Yeah.
And the French fries.
Same.
$11.
Same rules apply.
Yeah. Oh, it's for everything now. The people at the airport said, listen, the city is the one who controls the prices on beer. We have nothing to do with it. And they're saying now that the beer prices were incorrectly posted and quickly corrected.
Yeah.
So beer that was going for $18.15
was all of a sudden
is now $8.45.
Wait a minute. What about your $28 beer? What is that now?
Well, that I don't know. They have to change that to something a little bit more realistic.
Because that gentleman wanted a nice big beer.
I couldn't enjoy a beer if it was $30. And I've, you know, it's not like I've had a ton of airport beers, although I certainly have had a few. You know, a little something to get me on that plane. Airport price increases can go up 10%. Airport workers are making $19 an hour, or at least they will by next year. So you'd have to work an hour and a half to afford a beer after your shift? No. One woman... paid $4 for a 12-ounce bottle of Minute Maid orange juice. And she says, I thought it was going to be $2.50. They've got you. They know you don't have a choice. There is that, right? I mean, supply and demand. You're here. We have a supply. We can demand what we want. 5.5-ounce tin of Pringles going for $6.
Oh, you know what? That Pringles reminds me.
Yeah?
I've got an idea.
Okay.
I don't know how well it will be received, but I'm thinking about the idea. There are 80 Pringles in a Pringles can.
Okay.
I don't know how many servings they consider that, but there are 80 Pringles in a Pringles can.
How do you know that?
Because I looked at it.
Okay. A serving is 16 crisps.
Okay. So then that would mean you've got 5 servings in a can.
Correct.
But that's not how we're going to do this.
No.
I don't know if people will appreciate this or not. But I was thinking about next year.
Yeah.
Probably a little too late this year. I guess I could still do it this year.
Okay.
When kids and teachers get out of school.
Yeah.
Giving them a Pringles can. And it's kind of like a Pringles can advent calendar. You've got you got 80 chips in there.
Uh-huh.
Every day of vacation, you have a chip.
Eat one crisp.
You can eat one crisp.
Yeah, legally they can't call them chips.
Okay, crisps.
Uh-huh.
Then that way.
Uh-huh.
And then that way, I mean, when you first get out of school, uh-huh. you got this fresh cylinder of Pringles crisps, right? Uh-huh. Everything's great. And then
look at all the Pringles.
Look at
I
all
have.
The Pringles. Look at all the days I have. Next thing you know, it's 4th of July is coming and gone.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Look at my Pringles. And then you've got your hand. You're trying to get your hand down in that Pringles uh-huh. can. It's August.
Uh-huh.
And now you got to start tilting the...
Noticing how light the can is as you grab it each morning.
Exactly. But that's about what...
This was a little heavier.
Yeah, how do you think they would receive that?
I think they would eat the Pringles the first day of summer break, is what I think would happen.
That's not in the spirit of what we're doing here.
All right. I'm a kid. Give me your elevator pitch. How does this work? Why am I doing this?
Just basically to let you know that this is just kind of Pringles don't last forever.
I mean, I feel like the way it works is you have summer break. I was telling my son this the other day because he came home. And it was his last day. And I said, really, today and the next couple days, go crazy. Because there are few feelings you'll have in your life.
Is good.
As incredible.
Seventh grade summer?
Right. You've got this entire summer ahead of you. And you've got all these things planned. And you can do what you want. And like, just really bask in it.
I don't think it's too late. I'm going to get Owen a can of Pringles. And you tell him what this is all about.
No, I'm not having this talk with them. You do it.
One crisp per day. And but when you get to the end of the can,
then you know it's time to go back to school.
Your summer is shot.
It seems like this is my experience with summer, if I can remember being a kid. You have that coming home, no more teachers, no more books, mm-hmm. no more pencils, dirty looks. I think I got that wrong. Then it's the 4th of July.
Dirty looks.
I think I messed that up. Pencils giving me dirty looks? Oh, it's the teachers. The teachers that give you the dirty looks, not pencils. That all messed up.
What are you doing that you're getting dirty looks from the teachers?
Well, I'm making some suggestions that maybe aren't appropriate for 1982, Dave.
Oh, by the way, you know, as opposed to giving your... That's what... And a student could do it, too.
Uh-huh.
It's like it's the last day of school, as opposed to giving your teacher an apple... You give her a Pringles can and say, there you go. See you in the fall. Enjoy these, but only one at a time.
Well, I think there are 93 days or 94 days in summer.
They get that many days off? Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, no, just for the season.
No, I'm talking about that. I'm talking about when do they have to be back to school? Probably.
Look at it this way. Labor Day is 89 days away.
Okay.
As you and I sit here.
All right.
So next week, you could give someone a Pringles and say one crisp a day till Labor Day.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Enjoy.
There you have it. These Pringles come at an
Pringles
awful price.
Pringles don't last all evening.
Mm-hmm. A cloudburst doesn't last all day.
Right, exactly.
All things must pass. Uh-huh. Your summer... These Pringles, your very existence.
I just wonder if anyone...
Here you go, kids, enjoy.
If anyone would take umbrage with that. Like,
of course they would take umbrage. What else is there to take? That's the only option is to take umbrage. I want you to know your summer will be over.
You know, from someone who doesn't get the summer off, uh-huh. here's a Pringles can.
And I only want you to eat one Pringle a day.
One per day.
Like it's medicine. You can take one a day orally. But no more than
that. Well, you can only live one day at a time.
Uh-huh.
And one day...
Umbrage is the only thing someone could take with this idiot Pringle idea of yours.
So you think I still have time to do it?
Well, yeah, I do. But I also think at the end of the day...
You think
I'll
get punched?
I think that's a possibility. But I also think that you're looking at having it be like,
They throw the can right in my face?
It's kind of a disappointment at the end. Like, well, summer's over,
and
I'm out of Pringles.
I'm out of Pringles. Kind of and I had to put my little arm into the Pringles can and it got stuck.
And I think Dad ate a week worth of Pringles.
And I think I'm being sabotaged.
Number three.
Three.
Did I tell you I put a blueberry plant in my backyard?
Attaboy.
Well, this is the thing, too. Because I've got this little, just little plot where I put some lemongrass.
The family plot.
Just my garden is not big. It's like 3 feet by 3 feet, right? That's it. But it's enough for me. It gives me something to water and to take care of, but it doesn't insist upon
itself.
It's
like the Hudson Brothers Island of Peaky Peaky.
That's exactly what it is.
It's got its own volcano and everything.
Last summer, I put lemongrass in to try and keep the bugs away.
Look at you.
Yeah, and I got the plants. They were teeny tiny, and by the end of the summer, they were massive, and it was so fragrant in my backyard.
You need to respect that.
Yeah, right. And then I had rosemary and lemongrass last year. And what I would do, too, is you take that rosemary, you take a little bit off, you put it on your barbecue grill, and then the smoke from that rosemary, boy, it'll get rid of any mosquitoes or gnats or anything. It's fantastic. So I'm doing that again with lemongrass, and I'm doing a little bit of rosemary, and I've got some, I always say it wrong. Is it basil?
Yes.
Basil. I think I say basil.
Yeah, basil is a...
Like it's Rathbone.
Yeah.
But I still had another... little space.
Another little plot. Family plot.
And I finally, quit saying family plot. No one's buried in the backyard, to the best of my knowledge.
The final Hitchcock movie.
So I decide, well, maybe I go ahead and I go to a local nursery, yeah, and I get myself a blueberry plant. So I'm walking around this pretty massive complex looking at all of the different plants, right? And there's the... different types of grasses. There's some herbs. I'm looking at chives for a while, and I'm thinking, maybe I do chives. Maybe that could be something I do this year.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find the blueberry plant anywhere, and I'm walking around with a very confused look on my face, which is pretty much how I look all the time. I have resting, confused face.
Default.
Right. And one of the very helpful people there at the nursery, she says to me, is there something I can help you find? And
peace
this,
of mind.
This is what I say to her.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, I'm someone who speaks for a living, right? Between this endeavor with you and
chicken in a biscuit.
And, yeah, it was one of those moments. She says, is there something I can help you find? And I counter with this. Are blueberries a thing that people put in their gardens? That's what I said as an adult man. And it sounded just like that. I wanted to crawl under the tray
and die. There's nothing wrong with that.
Is there something I can help you find? Are blueberries the thing that people put in their gardens?
What time are you supposed to be on your bus?
That's exactly... Where's your helmet, dear? You get separated from the group? That's... It was... I just wanted to die. And of course, she helped me get the blueberry, and I...
Nice. They had something, huh?
Yeah, they had exactly what I wanted. I think I have a Nelson blueberry plant is what I have. So, it gives me something to take care of, something to water and talk to when I'm out there, you know. Yeah. And the
babyface Nelson blueberry plant.
That's right. Are blueberries the thing that people put in their gardens? Like I'm the little kid in Jerry Maguire. It was that was the tone of voice that I had. And I just
with those crazy little shark teeth?
Uh-huh. And then
that kid, we got to do something with that kid.
And then I realized when I'm at the counter that I also wanted to get a couple bags of mulch.
Yeah.
And this is a massive nursery.
Yeah.
And I ask, do you guys have mulch? There's an entire section.
Yeah, we still have mulch.
That's all that we have. Like, yeah. So yeah, it's in back. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Without a microphone in front of me, I cannot interact with human beings.
Just ask for what you want. Yeah. Sounds like you got what you wanted. You got your mulch and you got your blueberries.
I did. It all worked out. In the end, it all worked out. I was able to figure it out. But I don't understand why I can't.
Well, you're out of your element.
That's what
it is.
And
by out of your element, I mean the rest of the world.
Because I just spend so much time in this tiny little room talking to you that whenever I find myself forced to talk to somebody else.
You don't talk to anybody else.
Well, that's the problem. When I do, it doesn't work out for me. I'm not comfortable unless there's a microphone in front of me.
Hmm. That is an affliction.
Aren't I something else? Aren't I an inspiration?
To who?
I don't know.
Number four.
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 You heard about this new Taco Bell that delivers tacos
from the sky?
From the sky. What? Taco Bell's latest innovation, sky tacos.
Now, where do I have to be for tacos to be delivered from the sky?
Well, there's a very specific location.
Yeah, okay.
It's a new floating restaurant.
And what does that
delivers
mean?
Tacos from the sky. It's called Taco Bell Defy, and it opened yesterday in a suburb of Minneapolis.
Okay.
We could get there. I mean, if you really want to. We could get in the car and get there
now,
today.
Is that going to change the way you order if you're getting tacos from the sky? If you're getting Taco Bell from the sky? Because
how would that change
my
order?
In that, I would think that if I'm going to have tacos falling from the sky, I would prefer a soft taco over a hard taco.
Oh, that's an excellent point.
Because I just don't know that the hard shell taco
mm-hmm.
is going to be able to withstand the impact.
Why don't they have soft shell Doritos Locos tacos? Why is it only in hard shell? You tell me you couldn't get that Dorito dust on a soft shell taco? Mm. These are the questions.
Like a burrito, you could withstand a burrito falling from the sky.
Oh, yeah.
That's not going to, although, I mean.
But wear a helmet.
You hit you in the head, you're going to feel it.
You don't want that, right?
I just got supremed.
Taco Bell Defy, open up there in the Minneapolis suburbs. It's redefining drive-thrus as consumers know it. Customers will notice that the kitchen is on top of the two-story building.
So it's above you. The kitchen's above you.
And that orders are delivered via a vertical lift to their cars. Taco Bell President Mike Grams.
What? Mike Graham?
President of Taco Bell's name is Mike Grams.
Graham, man, like Graham a dip.
He says here in a statement, quote, "For decades, we've been committed to providing a fast, safe, and friendly drive-thru experience. Now with our bold goal of creating a 2-minute or less drive-thru experience for customers of this concept, Taco Bell Defy is the future."
So you're in the kitchen at Taco Bell,
mm-hmm.
and this is a kitchen that's above the cars.
Yeah.
And then you take your burrito
uh-huh.
and you drop it in a hole mm-hmm. like it was a toilet.
Essentially,
yes. Or is there some sort of little device where it actually flushes down the tube into your car?
Well, now you're talking.
Uh-huh.
They say that this reduces the time you spend in the drive-thru. And Well, this is their explanation. According to Taco Bell, it reduces the amount of time customers spend in the drive-thru. In a survey that was done last year from QSR Magazine, that's like the magazine of fast food, okay? They said that a Taco Bell order, on average, takes 268 seconds, or about 4.5 minutes to complete.
Really?
Yeah. With Defy, Taco Bell is looking to shorten the process to 2 minutes or less, and that's because there are multiple drive-thru lanes.
Ah.
Each lane has a distinct purpose,
ah.
including one.
Oh, there's like a taco lane? There's a burrito lane? There's a...
No, they couldn't do that because what if you wanted a taco and a burrito?
That's right, yeah.
Please circle back and use the burrito lane.
Circle back!
I'm
going to be here all day.
That's the plan, sir.
Each lane has a distinct purpose. There's one that's just for customers who order on the app.
Okay.
There's another lane that's just for delivery drivers, and then another lane for traditional orders that's equipped with two-way audio and video technology service for customers to talk to the team members on the second floor.
Mm.
Taco Bell has experimented with a number of pandemic-prompted design changes. In 2020, they debuted the Go Mobile concept that reduced the size of dining rooms and featured two drive-thru lanes. Inside, customers see more digital kiosks in addition to in-person staff who take your order. The designs are in response to the changing ways consumers have been ordering fast food since the pandemic began. Digital orders and drive-thrus exploded in popularity for essentially every chain. I mean, all fast food places, the window was where it was at.
Do you think I'll ever see the return of the Enchirito?
Hmm.
I mean, tell me the truth.
I think it's likely.
Likely?
Yeah, I think it will happen. One, because I'm an optimistic person and I believe good things will happen. Two...
See, that's what I don't get about you.
I know. When I have a lifetime of experience proving the opposite, I still remain optimistic. I don't get it, but it's just who I am.
I mean, the math just doesn't add up.
It hasn't. It hasn't for nearly 50 years. But I still am I'm a Pollyanna.
So you think I might... You know what? I wonder if I would just ask, would you make me an Enchirito?
Explain again
if
what
If I just had like a sad look on my face.
Just go with those puppy dog eyes.
It's my best feature.
The Enchirito was removed from the menu in 2013.
2013?
That's what it says here.
Oh, I don't think that's not right.
Enchirito was inexplicably removed from the Taco Bell regular menu in 2013.
No, it was later than that.
This says, though, you can still order an Enchirito.
What?
Most Taco Bell employees will understand exactly what you mean.
I know, you know what I'm saying.
But just in case, ask for an enchilada stuffed with beans, beef, and cheese.
It's kind of like they're crossed between an enchilada and a burrito.
It's like an enchilada and a burrito had a baby.
Yeah.
A delicious, delicious baby. Yeah, I'm sure that'll happen. Now, will the Bell Beefer ever come back?
I see. Now, the enchilada went away at one time and then did come back
mm-hmm.
in a different form. Didn't have the sliced black olives on it, but it did come back. The Bell Beefer, once it was gone, never to return.
You say that, Darren, but I've got news.
What?
The Bell Beefer, rumored to be making a full return in mid-2023. The Bell Beefer was a hamburger bun-based meal.
Yeah, it's essentially like a Made Right.
Right, but
a taco Made Right.
With taco fixins. You got your lettuce, your tomato, your cheese. The Bell Beefer was brought back for the dollar menu in a handful of restaurants 10 years ago. And it was enormously popular. And they can't figure out why they haven't brought this back. This was something that executives at Taco Bell came up with back in the day to combat the burger chains. The Bell Beefer was a bun with meat, diced onions, shredded lettuce, and mild border sauce.
Well, I think it also had, I think it had shredded cheese on it.
Well, you're thinking of the Bell Beefer Supreme, which also offered diced tomatoes and grated cheese. A few restaurants offered the Bell Beefer Surf and Turf Deluxe, which added fried shrimp and a scoop of tuna on top of the beefer's lettuce.
What?
As well as a line of taco tartar sauce. More like a sloppy Joe than a hamburger. Very well liked early on, but declined in popularity during the late 80s. Again, they brought it back for a time at a handful of restaurants. It had a huge resurgence. For whatever reason, they didn't bring it back. But it is rumored to be making a full return sometime next year. And as crazy as that sounds, Arby's is having great success with hamburger sandwiches right now.
That hamburger's doing okay?
Oh, yeah. They're knocking it out of the park with that thing. So we'll see.
So you think that's something that's going to stay on the menu or just will come back from time to time?
I think it's smart for them to bring it back from time to time to get people to talk about it. If it's on the menu all the time, you know,
There's no urgency.
Exactly. It's the McRib principle, right? If McRibs were available year-round... You couldn't care less about it. But because they only bring them out in the autumn, that's why you get so excited.
Yeah, we're a ways from away from that, aren't we?
Yum Brands is the parent company of Taco Bell. They also own Pizza Hut, KFC, and some chain called Habit Burger. Are you familiar with that?
Never heard of that one.
What is that, like burgers made by nuns? What the hell is Habit Burger?
What kind of meat is on a Habit Burger?
I don't know.
None.
I'm interested. The Habit Burger, a fast casual restaurant that specializes in charbroiled hamburgers. Okay. I'm listening. Anyway, they say that their digital sales at Yum grew 15% to a record $6 billion in the first quarter of all of its brands. So the idea of ordering on an app and then driving through this special Taco Bell in the sky and getting your order even faster, you could be seeing more and more of these. Boy, I'm not, how do we get a Habit Burger in town? This looks fantastic. The Cubano Char. Order now. Look at this. It's like a Cuban.
Yeah.
Hamburger sandwich. Whoa.
Well, that almost looks like the sort of thing. Before you lose your mind.
Yeah? Could I get that anywhere in town?
That looks like the
sort of... It's a hamburger with cold cuts on top of it and a couple different kinds of melted cheese.
Looks like the sort of thing you could get at a Red Robin.
Really?
I mean, they got so many different sandwiches there.
Well, the closest one of these Habit Burgers is in Salt Lake City.
Why don't you get
Winston-Salem, North Carolina. There's nothing in the middle of the country with these Habit Burgers. I could get this at Red Robin, you think?
Pretty close, I would imagine.
I'm intrigued.
Five.
Number five.
The world's first sex robot has a Scottish accent, and people are trying to figure out why.
People like Scottish accents.
Do they?
I guess. They must.
An ultra-realistic doll sparked bafflement. She's got a goofy accent.
Who are famous Scottish actresses? Because, now Sean Connery, he's Scottish, right?
Yes, but he's not a woman.
But I understand that, but you could probably still get a Sean Connery sex robot. Well, maybe not. You'd have licensing.
That'd be a weird thing to ask for.
Well, I mean,
it's an odd request. Although I guess it makes sense. He was one of people's sexiest men alive, wasn't he, at some point?
One time, I suppose.
Yeah, this video shows how the...
I don't know who these people are.
Shows the sex robot here coming to life.
Connect the AI that you've created in the app to the robot and carry on the conversation with her that way. Once you've got that loaded and you hit chat, well, she just comes to life.
Your dear came back so fast, baby. I'm glad you came back that fast. Why, baby, 10 minutes without you seems like an eternity.
All right, you can cut that crap.
Just weird.
You can cut it right now.
That was the CEO of Realbotics discussing how the Harmony 2.1 robot will work.
Not buying any of it.
The first sex robot's about to hit the market, and you can have a conversation with it with, again, a Scottish accent for some reason. Wow, baby, 10 minutes without you seems like an eternity, is what she just said. Specifically, this is not just a Scottish accent, but it's very specific to Glasgow, apparently. So, Glaswegians are saying, well, that's weird.
Isla Fisher?
Is she Scottish?
Apparently some sort of Scottish something.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that works. Sheena Easton was kind of an actress, right?
Yeah.
Does she count?
Well, yeah, she was acting.
All right. Give me Sheena Easton for the win. That's odd.
Oh, boy.
Okay, we should probably take this.
Yeah, go right ahead.
It's the hotline that really only rings on very special occasions. Am I not able to answer the phone?
You can't answer the phone?
Oh, no. I can answer. No.
Why is that?
It has to be kind of rerouted here.
Mm-hmm. It's always a struggle.
Well, I think you're going to find this is worth the wait.
Uh-huh.
Because it says here on the caller ID, Darren,
as to who this might be?
As to who is calling, because I'm sure you're wondering.
Is this like a Michael Stipe pollen count?
No, it says here on the caller ID that we're about to talk to
the
Sean Connery sex robot.
Oh boy, here we go.
See this coming.
Mr. Robot?
Hello, Mrs. Hello.
Yeah, that's us. This is the Sean Connery sex robot?
That's right. Expect me to talk.
What is the what's the serial number on your back? Should be easy enough.
I had the cure for the plague of the 20th century, and I've lost it. And I was like, if you want to know what the serial number is, you want me to look at the serial number.
Are we doing Mosquito Coast jokes?
I think that's a reference to a different movie.
Oh, which movie is that?
I don't remember.
Was he in Mosquito Coast?
No, it's the one where he's yelling at Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Yeah, remember?
Chicago?
No.
They sent one of yours to the morgue. You sent one of theirs to the hospital.
Is that from Chicago? That's from Chicago.
Oh, that's from The Untouchables.
Oh, see, I get it. That's from The Untouchables. I get it all mixed up.
It's very confusing. Yes,
sure. So what?
I'm coming over. I'm going to give you a good Roger.
What kind of features do you offer as the Sean Connery sex robot?
Well, I can get you a martini and stick it up for you.
Uh-huh.
And I can also give you what we call a handy.
Okay, that's
all right.
That's. I'm not saying no, but
I'll be right over. I'm coming up on a.
In a box.
The crate, that's right.
Yeah, okay. But you're already put together, huh? Already assembled?
Mostly.
What needs to be assembled?
You gotta put
the wiener on. Okay. That's enough. How does that work? Is that just screw on?
The screw is tied on. Okay. Go.
That seems odd that they don't attach that.
It's not factory installed.
Okay.
So,
all right.
What else can I do?
And how soon can we get you?
If you want to pay extra, I can be there in 48 hours.
I don't know if I want to pay extra. I mean, I've gone without you this long.
And then I'll come over to your house and listen to the Beatles wearing earmuffs.
Uh-huh.
That's a reference to one of my movies.
Mosquito Coast?
No, not Mosquito.
Was he in Mosquito Coast?
That's Harrison Ford.
Oh, what am I thinking?
Well, he was my son, Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's right. So you did
Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah, okay.
And by me, I mean the actor Sean Connery. For legal reasons, I'm supposed to say I'm not actually Sean Connery.
Well, yeah.
But in the dark, you'd be hard-pressed to tell me the I'll come right over there, man.
All right.
And I'll give you such a slap.
Yeah, okay. I'll yeah, I'm not paying for the express, though.
Okay, well, then I'll be over in about 14 days, because I'm coming from overseas.
Oh, boy, I'd like to find a happy medium between 48 hours and 14 days.
All right, well, that was the Sean Connery sex
Sean robot. Connery not in Mosquito Coast.
No, I'm not in it. Sean Connery's not in that movie, but you know what I mean? Zardoz. Check that one out. I walk around in like a diaper. It's someone else. Does that do anything for you? And I'm in Highlander, too, where I cut off people's heads and stuff. I play a Spaniard in that one. Oh, Spaniards. Sorry, I stole on the board.
Well, we'll let you go, Sean Connery, sex robot. It was great having you on.
Yeah, great.
Oh, thanks for this. I'm gonna go.
And by go, so go where? Back in the box.
Wow, that was incredible. Can't believe we talked to robotic James Bond.
And then he swallowed a bug.
Strange?
Yeah, it is strange. You would think that would not bother a
shouldn't
robot.
Shouldn't affect a robot.
You wouldn't think it should affect a robot.
I've swallowed worse. Just put it like that.
Another bug? Boy.
Damn it, what's with all these bugs?
Where are you at that there's so many bugs?
The Mosquito Coast.
Oh, of course. Now it makes total sense.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's Dave and Darren's top five things.
That's not bad.
I want to thank you for spending some time with us. We're live every morning, 5:30 to 10. Well, weekday mornings. We're not coming in on weekends. I mean, we like to have fun, but come on.
But there's danger, too.
Exactly. Until we get a chance to do another one of these for you, thanks for downloading, liking, and subscribing. And leave a review if you get a chance. Until we get a chance to do this again.
Yes.
Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Well, goodbye. And don't think it hasn't been a little slice of heaven. Because it hasn't.
Oh, we are the boys of Chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.
Okay, so I'll see you later, huh? I'll give
Stand
you a call.
Clear of the closing doors, please.